This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I think there's a shortcut that we can use somewhere here.
No lah, but same lah.
Same, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you can just turn left here, right?
Yeah, but it's a bit slower. It's faster if you go outside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Outside here?
Yeah. Then you just go straight to the one new traffic light, and then you turn left.
Hi, I'm Hanif Baharuddin. You're tuned in to I Love KL, and what you're hearing now is a recording of my journey to Pasar Ramadan TTDI. I was joined by Lo Yi Jun from Breaking Bread and producer of Neil Ting, and the initial idea that we had was to record our observations of the atmosphere and the various dishes available there.
Chicken spicy.
Chicken spicy?
Yeah.
Saya nak spicy satu, garlic satu?
Yeah, spicy nak extra spicy
tak? Nak spicy nak extra spicy?
Extra spicy.
Boleh lah.
But unfortunately, the weather was not on our side.
Wow.
Oh my god, this rain.
We're
explaining this to them.
Yeah.
Do you want anything else or you want to chill first?
And that meant we had to cut short our recording. We ran back to the office, and while having a conversation there, talking about the culture of Pasar and Bazaar Ramadan, we made one observation about the economic opportunities that emerge for people who are not necessarily full-time entrepreneurs during Ramadan.
Bazaar Ramadan is also a good opportunity for them to strategize in making money, right? Make extra money is one thing, but yeah. how do you strategize it as well? I've heard a lot of stories about how people choose to maybe take a one-month break from work just to participate in the business.
Do you have any relatives that I
don't
sells?
Have. No, maybe not relatives, but I've heard of people who.
Usually, when it comes to conversations surrounding Pasar and Bazaar Ramadan, we tend to pay a lot more attention to the kind of dishes or products sold, the atmosphere, all the side effects and the outcomes of the proliferation of these said bazaars. So this time around, we thought that it would be good to focus our attention on the vendors, especially those who chose to participate in it while still tied to their full-time jobs. What's their reason for doing so? Is it down to only profit? And how do they juggle between the two? To find the answers to those questions and many more, I spoke to Furkan, a nasi minyak seller at a mini bazaar in Jalan Burhanuddin Helmi, TTDI, who also happens to have a full-time job.
Hi, my name is Khan. People call me Khan lah. Right now, I'm staying in Taman Tun Dedek Ismail. Working full-time with a principal company, Inshallah. Next year is going to be 4 series. And I have 2 beautiful daughters with 1 lovely wife.
Okay, so ceritanya macam, I think I bumped into you at like a bazaar Ramadan, pasar Ramadan, selling food, right? And I understand that macam you at least have a full-time job apart from having this business of selling nasi minyak. You also have a full-time job, right? So I find that quite interesting because I've heard this narrative a lot of times. I think not necessarily leaving their full-time job, but maybe taking like a one-month leave ataupun memang diorang pilih untuk macam mungkin macam abang lah macam jaga between full-time job and also meniaga kan. Jadi boleh cerita kan macam mana timbul minat untuk meniaga ni? Memang abang memang minat niaga ke atau memang abang rasa abang buat ni sebab macam abang rasa macam the pulangan dari segi kewangan tu memang menarik ke macam ni?
Actually to say meniaga is fun. Meniaga is fun. Where did I get the idea is actually is in the blood in this industry. I mean sales and marketing industry. So, to say I build up customer, most of customer, what I can say is they like me. So, why don't I place the same idea to myself? So, what I can see on Ramadan is an extra income by doing this side sale routes, hawkers. I choose nasi minyak because the setup is very easy. And I make sure that the food are good. And I do measure on the quantity itself just to gain profit daily.
What do you mean by measuring on quantity? As in, you estimate how much you're going to sell per day lah?
Yep, I estimate how much I can sell per day. Because being a young entrepreneur or a hawker side, street hawkers, you have to measure. If you're selling 3 chickens, you don't know whether the 3 chickens going to be finished at the day itself. So you have to carry forward. So I don't want to carry forward the food. So I'm making minimize. So with the minimize target, I can gain this much. So this is how I do my costing.
So how long have you been doing this?
I think 5 years. I start off selling a lemandi in front of Jasema. That's the time when I have my first daughter. So shortage of cash. What I can see is the trend is there. The Arab culture is there. It's like people asking, what's lemandi? So I say, why don't I sell lemandi on the side road? And they say, okay. The feedback from the customer was like, hey, what is this? It smells good. Even though I was on the divider, they was at the alley, the Jasema Alley Enterprise. When I opened up the tumbler, it was like, hey, what's this? The smell is there. The aroma is there. It's like, hey, come have a look. Oh, this is a lemandi one, a cup. And you can have a try. It's just like this. It's only 8 ringgit. So people say, it's like, hey, this guy sells something good and it's only 8 ringgit, less than 10 ringgit. People will pay food less than 10 ringgit for August, no worries, as long as your food is good. Let me tell you, okay, what happened if you see ikan patin with nasi putih and throw the side August selling at 10 ringgit? Are you going to stop? Definitely, yes. That's the things.
But then you change the menu afterwards, right?
Yeah, every year. Every year, I change the menu according to, I don't know, the instinct. Maybe we talk about it, we think about it, what to suit for Tamantun fellows for Ramadan, because most of Tamantun are senior citizen. They like soft food. Things are good taste. Things are like this. So before you want to open up these hawkers, you have to see the community. I was here from 5 years old. So I'm here at 34 years already. So I know them. They know me. Even I go to Jasema, hey! Ah, we know your order already. Okay, something like that.
I see. All right. So that's the very important part of like doing business, especially during Ramadan, right? You need to do your market research and sort of like know what to sell. Because a lot of people, sometimes they try to experiment. They try to, you know, create something new. And depends on whether the trend will catch on or not. Like, kalau macam orang suka, orang makan, orang rasa sedap, then it'll probably like, you know, be beneficial for you. But if it doesn't work out, then it's going to be difficult for you, right? So technically, kena macam abang pandai just, I mean, it's not just thinking about what to sell, but also looking at the demographic lah kan?
Actually, the idea of selling nasi minyak, my idea is you have, when you think of an item, I'm trying to hit for big. Yeah? I'm selling cheap, 8 and 13 for 8 for chicken, masak merah, and 13 for Australian mutton. So the most important thing is to feed up your target. Okay, I know I'm selling cheap at the street, but what is your target? What is your big target? What is your bonus? So my bonus is on the catering, raya catering. So these are the ideas. Why do I do nasi Arab? 5 years back, nasi Arab, I was like, ooh, you can see all those stalls are selling nasi Arab. But now I see, okay, what menu should suit for raya? So I said, why don't I go nasi minyak, ayam masak merah, and mutton curry. It's a common raya food. So that's the idea.
So kiranya this business, perniagaan ni, is also to macam sort of like showcase your skill so that macam come raya nanti boleh macam dapat business catering pula lah kan?
Yep. I did promote myself. How do I hit my bonus for raya? Like last 2 days, I dah start saying to customer, akak kalau nak order untuk rumah, kita terima order. So they said, okay, akak try dulu. Then the next day, dia datang. Or 2 days after, dia, akak nak nombor lah. Can I have your number? How to contact you? Okay, kalau akak nak, I want to transform your nasi minyak to other nasi. Dia kata, she want nasi tomato. With the same, placement lah. So I said, okay, no problem. I want it to be on a catering with dulangs and everything. I said, okay, boleh, tak ada masalah kak. Even to share with you today, I think one of the guy yang first time beli, he wrote me a poem saying the poetry, your food have a poetry, Furkan.
Boleh bacakan sikit poetry?
The poetry, alamak, I tak bawa the poetry. The poetry at home, I was in a rush to come here. So there's a poetry on it. But the summary of poetry saying that he went everywhere, in and out, and one day he sat down, and nevertheless he tried this recipe, this food, and it's a poetry of Furkani. So he gave up a name, the guy named Mustafa. he gave up a name to my store, which is Rabia Rubaiyatul Furqani. So what happened, I take it as appreciation. I laminated the paper and I stick it to my store. So when people come, I say, someone just some appreciation for my customer.
Okay, so how does Furqan juggle between his day job and his side business on a daily basis? The key is, of course, good time management.
Your time management, you have to specify what is important and quadrant. Okay, meeting customer for my full-time job is a priority to me because the challenge in the market in OA is very tough. Price war, service war and everything. So I maintain my sales in my full-time job. I did tell my bosses what scenario I'm facing, what project I can bring in. So back to the juggle full-time and entrepreneur hawkers, I did explain some and I do equivalent enough to the principal. I didn't leave any figure. I give a figure to the company, then to myself I said, okay lah, I know that my boss is okay, so I don't have to take this opportunity. So okay lah. It's a bit struggle, but do or die.
That's the most important part. You have to sort of like get permission from your employers, right? And they're aware of you doing this?
Yeah. And it's a bit hard for me to explain to them. But back to back, I'm saying I have a big family. I have a new baby. Things are getting expensive. So I have to do my own initiative by getting my own income.
And they're okay with that?
I think they're okay, or maybe not okay. Not sure.
Mm-hmm. But as long as you meet your KPI for the month, right?
Okay lah, we're talking about sales lah. Sales, if you hit 300,000 this month, for example, May, next month is going to be zero. Sales is that way. It's going to be like wave. So in my industry, somehow in first queue, if you cannot achieve to get your KPI, you have a second queue. So that's where your second queue, you have to full blast and boost up all your, buckle up all your things lah, and to make it as a sales figure.
Yeah, so maybe you can walk me through your daily itinerary in terms of juggling between work and business. What's your schedule like? Yeah, how do you manage your day?
Okay, let me share with you, Hanim. How from AM, woke up at 6.30, help my wife prepare my daughter. Then we send my daughter to nursery, send off my wife to her office in Bandar Utama. Then I'm back to Glamoury, clock in. I make sure that I won't be late. No red things lah. So then set up, prepare yourself because you're the SE. You have to motivate and drive yourself, and your management, time management is very important. To be someone like me, your time management is very priority. Yeah. So you manage your time. Once you're in the office, around 9.30, you're out, see the customer. See the customer, first customer, most probably 10.30. Follow up, have some discussion with the customer. See what in and out we should do and improvise our solution. So then done. By lunch, I'm going to be home. After lunch, one more visit to the customer. Then I'm back at home to prepare for my evening hawkers. I open up this stall on my own. So I fill up everything. Then set up on your own lah. You have to set up. To share with you guys, hawkers is not easy when you start alone. You have to open up the umbrella alone. Imagine this lah. But I urge you guys lah, okay? If you still young, you have an idea, okay, about food, try. Just try. Try alone is okay. No problem. I done it. And the outcome is good. Let me share lah. If you rasa your gaji is 2,500 per month and you're getting that for 8 hours working, you boleh berhenti lah. Cuba cari gaji yang tepi-tepi jalan ni dah menyaga. Because if you get 150 a day, bersih eh, imagine berapa you dapat, 450. 4,500 per month. Itu kalau you dapat 2,500, ni 4,500. Tapi the difference is that is permanent job, whereby on the 31st or 28th you dapat your gaji. But niaga is daily, daily, daily. So how do you want to emphasize and market yourself? That's important. Do a lot of readings. Like satu, knowledge from the street is important actually.
What do you mean by knowledge from the street?
Knowledge from the street is actually to share with you different perception, different people. Different people, different eye view. I don't know how to share with you, but street knowledge ni actually can build up yourself at the ages. Macam if you 26, 25, kalau umur you 25, 26, 78, you dapat street knowledge, probably you build up yourself. Bagus. Lagu pun buat daripada jalanan. Orang nak buat lagu, dia tak duduk dalam bilik. Dia jalan, dia tengok kat sini. Dia ambil cerita orang ni. Dia tampakkan satu ayat tu je. So, di sini dia sambung ayat perangkat kedua. Dia buka lain. That is how ni lah.
Jadi, kepentingan orang kata ilmu di jalanan tu kita tak boleh nak sangkal lah kan.
Sebenarnya, ilmu jalanan ni apa yang ajar you adalah public relationship and your common sense. How to buka topik. Macam ni nak cakap dengan orang. I tell you, kalau katanya meniaga, you buka kedai, you buka payung sorang-sorang. Okay, sebelah you ada orang jual, sebelah you ada orang jual. You baikkan dia orang. Okay, orang tu lalu, orang ni lalu je. Dia lalu, dia tengok je. Kalau dia sebenarnya, intention dia is just to get attention. You tegur je. Hi, Assalamualaikum, saya jual ni. Dia akan berhenti. Kalau orang tu 50 or 60, you just say hi je. Hi bang, Assalamualaikum, saya jual ni. The tone that you share with him is like, Muhammad ni, berbunga-bunga, cerinya. So dia akan stop by, you just say hi. Tak usah saya dapat one dish jual. Your target is maybe around 40 dishes per day. Because of that simple hi, you never know. So rahsia Tuhan tu memang besar sahaja.
I've been speaking to Furkan, a nasi minyak seller at a mini pasar Ramadan who also happens to have a full-time job during the day. He has shared how he juggles between the two, and later we're going to get his take on how to survive the fierce competition in these bazaars. Stay tuned, I'm Hanif Baharudin and you're listening to I Love KL on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. I'm Hanif Baharudin, and in this episode, I'm joined by Furkan, a nasi minyak vendor at a mini pasar Ramadan in TTDI along Jalan Burhanuddin Helmi. One interesting factoid about Furkan is that he is doing this alongside his full-time day job. This is an increasingly common trend that I've noticed among quite a number of people who participate in the Ramadan and Raya businesses. Furkan has shared how he juggles between the two. Now let's unpack what is it like to be in the F&B business, especially when the competition can be quite tough. Abang ada risau tak pasal competition in terms of like bila cakap berniaga ni kan? Sometimes, yelah, especially during Ramadan, orang kata cara orang melihat makanan tu berbeza kan? Selera orang pun berbeza-beza. And business tu turun naik kan? Jadi macam how do you make sure that at least you'll be able to get a consistent pulangan lah kan?
Expenses? Okay, thinking about costing and expenses is very important in side street hawkers. Because sometimes you have to play with your costing beli barang. Somehow you rasa, okay, this time your budgeted daily is only 150. You want to spend 150, so you have to feed for 2 days or 3 days punya costing. So this is how I measure. Most probably maybe I don't buy veggie too much because veggie cepat rosak. So I buy veggie for 2 days je. Like other things like macam ghee. The thing to use to for nasi minyak is ghee. Ghee, you cannot use a cheap ghee. If you use a cheap ghee, the taste will be tak bagus. And margarine, you cannot sell cheap margarine. You tak boleh bagi margarine yang plastik tu. Tak sedap. So you have to pick and betul pilih. Lepas tu harga pun, ni kena pilih yang sesuai lah. The most important is your keikhlasan lah. Keikhlasan dan barang lah. Pasal apa, banyak Ramadan ni orang jual nak buat duit. Baju-baju tu semua buat duit. Makan problem dia is tak ikhlas berniaga. Ni benda ni lah. Ada setengah, kadang-kadang orang tu jual bagus. Sebelah ni jual tak bagus, orang beli sakit perut. What happen? Dia report. Dia report semua kena tutup. So, semua tak ada punca pencarian. So, ni lah masalah-masalah yang kadang-kadang the community have to look. Sebab tu, all these people yang buying, they play their role. They make sure they have a good food dan benda tu tak sakit.
Itulah satu perspektif yang menarik. Sebab macam abang cakap tadi, kadang-kadang kita sibuk nak mengejar keuntungan. Orang yang mungkin tak ada pengalaman dalam industri F&B mungkin nak masuk, nak participate sebab because of the pulangan kan. So sometimes kualiti makanan tu mungkin jadi satu kata isu juga lah kan. Mungkin sama ada macam abang cakap, benda kita ikhlas in the sense that macam makanan tak seberapa, ataupun kadang-kadang mungkin niat ada tapi just dia kata punya quality tu tak meet the expectation lah. So macam how do you make sure that macam at least the product that you're selling is good. Like kalau macam katakan orang tu ada niat nak berniaga tapi mungkin skills tak ada, skill masakan tak ada ke, does that mean that you have to like macam also do your homework there, kena before you start macam it's not just about the money lah, you have also have to sell good product lah.
Okay kan? Lah up and down in being a street hawkers tu biasa to me, not to me lah, to people lah. Because I think you have to try to fail, try to succeed, semua you have to try. Most probably in the first year you would try popiah carbonara as you mentioned. It's rare. So no sambutan, tak ada orang beli. So you have to change. You have to, okay, maybe 3 months ROI you, this popiah carbonara is not making me money and giving me problem. So, you have to wipe out your idea. Get a new idea. As you said, mention case study lah. You have to baca. Apa you tahu. See your community. If your community is most of it youngsters, why don't you sell kebab? Iranian kebab. Selling at RM6. People will eat. You have to look at the community. But you have to change your menu. Ikhlas. Dan sedap nak improve tu actually banyak benda. To be successful, I share with you one guy. He selling satay. Before this, he was a party planner. So, whatever, he move up to satay. So, after up and down, maybe 5, 3 times, 8 times, changing the menu on the side street, what to sell. Nowadays, Allah turunkan dia. God give him, okay, why don't you do this? But, what happened today? He's selling 700 stick a day. Imagine that 30 days. Dia, gaji dia dah gaji pengarah kat kementerian lah. 5 figure lah. The time that they guna is only, I think, in a day is only 6 hours. But the pro and cons is the weather lah. If the it's raining, then you, sorry lah. You menyaga, you akan menangis lah.
Ya, yeah, especially sekarang musim hujan dah sejak seminggu lepas tu dah start hujan petang selalu kan. Then that's one of the many challenges lah kan. In terms of competition, is that a big challenge? Katakan kalau macam tempat yang abang berniaga, mungkin abang seorang je yang berniaga nasi minyak. So I think in terms of competition tu okay lah kan. Tapi kalau macam kata peniaga yang berniaga kat bazar, berniaga sate, ada 3-4 orang peniaga lagi yang berniaga sate kan. How do you deal with that kind of challenge?
That's a quite tough ni. When you have a competition, the only thing is to play is your quality and your pricing and your approach. As I mentioned earlier, tak semua orang, ada orang kena tegur boleh beli. Ada orang yang dia memang beli je. Ada pakcik yang dah retire, yang pencen, dia nak orang entertain dia. Baru dia beli. These are the things lah. Cerita pasal persaingan, harga tu penting dan kualiti lah. Lain satu, Ramadan ni orang nak cepat. Pasal a household orang ni, family ni, kalau wife dia beli makanan, sebelum dia beli, ambil anak, mungkin dia nak beli makanan dulu. So anak dia dah tunggu pukul 6. Dia dah balik, dia nak set up. Dia dah, time dia memang fit. Because on the, dah jalan, kat jalan, on road, dalam kereta. You tak tahu bila you jam. So kalau kadang-kadang you measure setengah jam sampai. So what happen, tiba-tiba you have to plan ikut macam MRT lah. You berhenti one station, you beli ni. You berhenti one station ni, you beli ni. Just to make everything flow bagus. So, competition tu sebenarnya bagus. Tapi, make sure kepentingan yang sihat lah. Macam, what I done kat bawah ni, we competition yang sihat. this guy is selling kukus, good food. I jual nasi minyak, good food. So kita belawan. In the same time, we are friends. Oi, habis dah ke? Belum. Like that lah.
Okay, dalam bulan puasa ni kita tengok macam-macam jenis perniagaan ada. Perniagaan makanan of course is yang utamanya lah kan. Tapi lagi satu perniagaan yang saya rasa banyak juga berlangsung adalah Bazar Ramadan yang biasanya dijalankan waktu malam lah kan. Yang biasa dibuka waktu malam lepas lepas buka puasa kan. Kalau kat KL ni kita biasa fikir jalan tar lah. Usually kan jalan tar mana orang...
Danau kota.
Danau kota. Orang yang bukan jual makanan, lebih kepada jual pakaian, tudung, telekung dan sebagainya kan. Jadi ada tak perbezaan perniagaan dari segi sudut jual makanan dengan jual barangan-barangan sebegini?
Beza dia ada. Untuk pakaian, you have to at least 3 months earlier before raya or Ramadan, you dah kena survey your market. You have to cari and order and package it to here. That is 3 months lah. You have to be fast on baju. And the cost is a bit high because you have to fly. And somehow you have to be a share partner. You kena cari partner. So that's the difference lah between food and baju lah. Baju costing dia is around most probably the tapak itself, I think now in Jalan Tar minimum is 5,000, 5 to 10K if I'm mistaken. So your cost baju here most probably you gonna 30K. 30K with the tapak itself around less than 60K. But your margin is going to be 120% of the 160K. That is Jalan Tar lah, promise. Because, back in 2014, I ada pengalaman di Jalan Tar. I jual baju kurung Vietnam with labuchi and telekung, kain, tudung. Okay, not bad. We get back our modal. Kita dapat balik modal, kita ada untung. Dan kita boleh bayar gaji orang lah. Why saya tak sambungkan balik? Pasal jarak. Kat sana jauh. Lagi satu, kadang-kadang ada yang habis tu susah kita nak jual balik. Yang tak habis tu susah kita nak jual balik. So, kadang-kadang we have to go by family lah. Like telekung, you want to buy telekung or not. Go houses by houses, visit, bawa kuih. Datang ni apa, bawa kuih sikit, buat tangan. Yeah, actually ada tudung lebih, nak beli tak? So, we sell at cost. Cost price at that time. Because you dah dapat. Now, it's just about clearing out the stock. Macam tu lah.
In terms of perniagaan kat situ pula, dia cara meniaga pun is different kan. Because I think you start meniaga macam macam kata tadi, pukul 4 petang sebenarnya dah start meniaga. Saya selalu ingat yang orang start meniaga lepas buka puasa pukul 8 at least kan. Tapi 4 petang dah start meniaga. Yeah. And you have to at least sell till like at least 3-4 AM the next day, right? Depending on the situation. I think the and unlike food, benda-benda macam ni pun macam start macam you won't likely get returning customer every day kan. You macam kalau satu orang dah beli, that's it, right? So you have to find like at least how many unique customers kan.
The difference between baju dengan makanan is baju one time customer, makanan repeat customer. You jual makanan sedap, orang datang balik. Apa yang you beritahu kat dia orang, if makanan sedap, tolong beritahu kawan-kawan you juga. Itu aja. Kalau you jual baju, people will come back and complaining. Alo, baju you ni tak muat. Saya nak tukar size. Itu je yang paling teruk akan berlaku. So, the rotation on food and clothes, I think food is lagi bagus. Lagi satu, the achievement, pencapaian pada akhir perjualan, makanan is tiring. Pasal you kena prepare every day. Tapi kalau habis, nikmat dia tak ada orang yang tahu. You dengan orang yang masak dan yang jual tu je yang tahu. Kalau you jual baju, you kena tunggu. Orang datang, then you have to kecek. And then, kak, belilah. Baju ni cantik. 170. Saya bagi akak 145 untuk akak je. So, you dah turun kos kat situ. Just to get satu baju jual. And to close that satu baju, will take you 5 minutes. Orang tu balik, dia keluar. Tak apalah, akak datang balik. Datang, then you kejar kejap. Kak, okeylah kak. Last, 110. Ambillah kak. Tak nak lah. Akak tu pun main game. Tak apalah, nanti akak datang. So, you sedih. You dah try your best. 5 minit tu. Market. Wah, boban. Cost down. Ni, manis tu, manis ni. Nah, tak ada. Habis. But in terms of food, when you serve good food, you cheer up people. Hi. Khabar. People will come. Dia tak beli hari ni. Dia datang. Semalam dia beli sedap. Orang yang baru beli tu macam, sebelah tengah tunggu sate je. akak try satu lah. So this is how food and clothes are different. Clothes margin banyak, tapi satisfaction dia not that high lah. Maybe money lah. Tapi bila you serve food bagus, orang datang balik happy, lain. That's different.
Tapi in terms of pasaran dia pula, macam timing wise, macam, and again I think people, depending on the kind of people, sama ada dia orang buat dia orang punya I think pembelian baju tu sama ada awal or towards the end, right? And saya selalu dengar cerita orang kata, oh, I think the sales will only pick up like in the last 2 weeks of Ramadan, towards raya tu. Is that true? Betul ke macam kalau jual baju ni macam dia punya pulangan dia tu akan datang mungkin a bit later towards raya?
Actually talking about that, yeah, true, because Malaysian people ni pandai juga berbelanja. They don't buy first, second week. Orang yang beli first, second week ni orang-orang yang ada duit. Pasal perbelanjaan orang-orang Malaysia ni, first 2 week, gaji tak ada duit. Third week, baru you ada try money power to buy. Okay, so back to your question.
Kira ujung bulan baru.
Yeah, is that way. Because tak boleh lari macam mana. Because you know that the hype time is third week and fourth week. First week is the maybe your 200% margin on the one item thing. Then you dah kena costing drop. Third week, alamak, I have to drop lah 110. Next kedai is selling same thing, Vietnam with different label, 100. Lepas tu come, I can see that 100. So you have to drop. If you imagine, okay, raya, you want to see the raya on the last week. You pergi jalan tah tu. First week, you datang, you tengok haram tu, RM170 lah. Third week, you datang, mungkin benda RM70. So, Malaysian people ni, dia pandai. Dia beli, dia dah tahu dah, the trend, the wave is the same. You macam nak surfing, you dah tahu, okay, minggu, bulan ke-8, Australia, ombak naik. So, the same thing you apply on the ni lah.
Tapi like macam apa yang abang buat dekat sana pun, you still have people who are like, macam they choose to take like a 1 month break from work, or macam they do or they still work
unpaid leave
juga. I've heard a lot of good people taking unpaid leave, or either like macam doing it macam work during the day and at night they still want to participate in the business lah kan. So kiranya, I think in terms of the entrepreneurial spirit, especially during Ramadan, you can see a lot of people wanting to participate in that economy lah, because there is
source of making money.
Source of making money for a lot of people lah. Abang dengar cerita pasal orang buat kuih raya ke atau macam mana pula, itu pula what kind of market is that like, kalau kat situ pula?
Okay, kuih raya talking about the margins is hundreds, puluh-puluh. You can boleh bagikan lah. Kalau kuih raya ni, dia punya setup dia susah, and you need a lot of manpowers. You need a table to set up. You need a table, you need a container, you need a room. Kalau orang yang buat kuih ni in Taman Tun Dari Ismail, I think one of the successful in Pasar Taman Tun, dia ada satu branch kuih. Branch tutup, dia ada nombor je. You call, you can pick up at the house, then you can see the house. Memang dapur, all dapur. And there's banyak worker. Because kuih ni leceh. You nak kena buat tepung. Tepung tu nak kena uli. Uli is not easy, okay? Unless you have a machine, 5,000-6,000 machine, 5,000-4,000. Then it can roll for you, then it's different lah. But preparing a kuih raya is actually leceh, penat. Then banyak orang pakai. Packaging lagi satu, you nak kena pack. You nak kena potong. So, banyak station. Kalau macam compare dengan I punya, I already dah simplify myself how to set up. Set up tu penting actually. Your set up lah. Macam siapa, apa, that is the most important thing.
So, balik kepada perniagaan abang, what are the preparations that you have to do before you start like thinking about wanting to do this lah? I think for people out there yang macam bagi peniaga-peniaga luar sana yang mungkin mendapat sikit inspirasi daripada mendengar cerita abang kan, what kind of preparations do they have to do? Like for example, macam abang cakap tadi, kalau nak meniaga baju, kena preparation 3 months ahead, right? Kita kena start survey market, mana nak dapat stock dan sebagainya. Kalau macam meniaga F&B pun I think you have to, dari sudut professional kerja, kena fikir macam okay, maybe I have to, kalau abang dalam bidang sales, abang boleh macam have to boleh cover dululah, or cover kemudian your KPI. But kalau macam orang yang tak ada dalam bidang lain, macam mana dia nak try tu, macam okay, how do I go about this, right? Macam mana saya nak mula? And in terms of like survey the kind of food that you want to sell, barang-barang preparation dan semua, boleh buat last minute ke macam mana? Dia boleh kongsikan sikit lah. What kind of preparations do they have to do?
First thing, time. The most important thing is how you kill your time. How you benefit your time. Dua is study market you. Try to hit something yang near to you. Jangan pergi jauh-jauh. People tahu you dekat. Orang kenal you. Orang, kalau you daripada KL, you nak meniaga ke PJ, orang tak kenal you. So, baik you meniaga kat area you je. Because, satu, you promote yourself that you're from here. So, orang tahu dan you dah duduk sini. Lagi satu, jangan takut cuba makanan, nak try, buat. Jangan takut. Pasal nak berjaya tu, banyak-banyak benda rintangan. Bukannya you lahir, hari ni you sudu perak, tak. I pernah jatuh, I pernah bangun, I pernah tukar my menu, macam-macam benda. Even though I do my full-time job, but Ramadan, I try to buat extra income. But it's a good income actually. Easy. The most important thing is your standard, your idea, how you implement and macam mana you merangka idea tu menjadikan satu hasil. Pasal mengikut saya punya situasi, saya buat semua benda di dapur dengan isteri, tapi bila turun di tapak, saya buat seorang semua. So you kena bayangkan kerja macam mana nak angkat payung, nak buka payung seorang-seorang, belajar buka payung seorang-seorang, berapa cepat tu semua. Tu semua adalah satu benda yang you nampak rumit, tapi kalau you dah biasakan hari-hari, it will be easy. Then you fikirkan, you sediakan makanan yang sedap untuk orang, dan orang tidak berkata puji makanan you, adalah satu benda yang you tak boleh dapat percuma. Tu semua kejadian-kejadian alam, orang bagi, Allah bagi. So I appreciate benda-benda macam tu.
And the most important thing is to discipline lah, be disciplined and juggle your time tu semua, jana juggle family semua kan.
Yeah, the most important thing is your, kalau nak menjaga ni, your time management. Jangan lupakan benda yang ada, yang benda yang ada yang macam your permanent is there, still there. Jangan buat, dan don't argue with the management. If you're wrong, yeah, just say wrong, admit it and improve. But thinking about another side, that is your ni kan. So you have to discipline. Pasal talking about my hari-hari rutin ni, balik buka puasa, I terpaksa buka kat sana. I'm going to miss something. I'm going to miss my daughter. I'm going to miss my wife to buka puasa bersama. Because they're going to be at home. I struggle for the family menjaga kat bawah. So these are the things I'm going to lose that you guys I don't share. Then things yang kita orang, yang kita struggle is when buka puasa, I tak sama. Lepas tu bila balik, I have to run and get the stuff. Barang-barang untuk beli. So my wife have to make sure my daughters are asleep. So balik kita boleh buat together. So these are the things yang kita struggle, tapi we manage to do it. Tak susah lah. Benda orang cakap, alah berat lah, actually it's malas je. You kena cari kecekalan diri you, apa yang boleh membawa you kepada benda tu. Lepas tu sentiasa ke memikirkan you ni kurang. You ada saving RM10,000 lah dalam bank, it's not enough. Cakap je macam tu to yourself. It's a mirror to your own. You don't share to people. You say, ayah, aku tak cukup lah ini. No, you don't say to that to people. Say to your inner self. Build up your inner. Then from there, you boleh tahu who you are, where you at. Siapa you sebenarnya.
Abang dah buat perniagaan ni almost like 5-6 years lah sekarang. And you've seen the macam returns. Pernah fikir untuk buat full time meniaga F&B?
Share with you honestly lah. Meniaga fun. At my age right now is suitable because I can manage my daughter and pick up my daughter. These are the things yang orang suka buat sekarang ni. Ambil anak apa semua. But at the same time, I love my customer juga. I think I'm very responsive to my customer. So they happy. So I tak nak rugi lah. Even I dah build up that database 11 years. I'm dealing with government. I'm a supplier. So most of customer I memang 10 years I dah jaga, they still happy with me. Even sebelum I kahwin pun, dia dah tengok. So they happy. Even we share, we talk. So most of my client tak ada masalah dengan I. Itulah.
So maybe not for now lah.
For now, actually, apa yang I nampak is I'm building up a rapport with customer. So, bila things are there, to go, then I can just say my ambition to have a restaurant. So people will come. Hey, this guy had a restaurant. So from there is the start platform for the baru.
You've been tuning in to I Love KL, and this week we're joined by Furkan, a part-time Pasar Ramadan entrepreneur that juggles between his nasi minyak business and a full-time day job. And that's the end of this week's episode of I Love KL. If you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my/ilovekl or download our app via Google Play or the App Store. We're also available on Spotify, so do check us out there too. Don't forget to also follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharudin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Selamat Hari Raya, maaf zahir dan batin. Have a safe Raya, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.